141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on day one for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst working with the Rangers players. He says he'll look them all in the eye following Sunday's cup disappointment. Elsewhere, Jota says he's too busy enjoying his football to worry about his long-term future. And Jack Ross says Hibs are baffled by their ticket allocation for the League Cup final against Celtic. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Roger Hannah.
Well, it's only Tuesday night, Gordon, and 2 hours might not be long enough. Celtic are in the cup final. Jota's player of the month and doing a passable George Michael impersonation on Celtic's Christmas video. Jack Ross is in the cup final, but he's not happy about a fixture schedule or the ticket allocation for the cup final. And Rangers didn't get to the cup final, but they've got a new manager taking charge and a huge Europa League game on Thursday night. The good news for you is Daz and I have still got the hunger.
Following all that?
Yeah, there's never a quiet week in Scottish football, as you know, Gordon. It's exciting. You go back to the weekend there, all the talking points, semi-final on Sunday with Rangers losing that 1-2 Hibs. As much as a lot of Rangers fans have been on the programme, I listened to it last night, criticising some of the comments from guys like Coulson after the game. Congratulations to Hibs. They played very well. You've got to give them a bit of credit, and they face Celtic in the cup final. But looking forward to Thursday night's important games in the Europa League.
And seeing this is radio and I'm the only one that can see you, I can confirm for the listeners you two have certainly still got the hunger, just in case there was any doubt about that. 01419511025 on the phones or at Clyde SSB on Twitter. I was going to say he's gone for black, which is slimming tonight. However, I can't criticise his dress sense, because I turn up, I pick him up this afternoon, he's got grey jeans. I noticed I've got grey jeans on. He's got black trainers with a little white rim round the bottom, as do I. We appear to be dressed like an awkward father and son combo.
I actually just wonder if there's something out the mother will show up.
So I'm hoping those cameras are turned off tonight. Anyway, 01419511025 on the phones. Let's hear from you. Pick up that phone, let us know what's on your mind, and you can tweet as well. You'll find us over there at Clyde SSB. As Roger says, so much to get through. Day one of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst training at Rangers. What are his immediate priorities? What should he change? What has he walked in to find? Anyone out there that he should give a chance to in the squad that you think perhaps deserves a bit more of a look in? Give us all your thoughts, Rangers fans. It's been an incredible couple of weeks. Steven Gerrard leaves, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's appointed, but he's not there on Sunday. Sunday's so disappointing. Now he takes training, now it's Europa League. So what are the immediate priorities? What should he change initially, if anything? Anyone out there that he should give a chance to? 01419511025. Celtic fans, we're going to hear from Jota. He is the player of the month for October. That was announced yesterday. What are you making of him and where your team are at the moment into that cup final, of course, where you will have more fans than Hibs, much to the annoyance of Jack Ross. So if you have any thoughts on any of them, please pick up that phone. It was quite the weekend of football, wasn't it?
It was. We haven't even touched in the game I covered for Super Scoreboard on Saturday up at Tannadice. East and United beating Aberdeen 1-0 in a
Ojo,
new firm
anyone
game.
If you want to discuss that, well, the more the merrier.
Callum Butcher has seemed to get away with everything. Scott Free's not got a mention for his red card anywhere because of the incident involving Funso Ojo. Don't think we've heard the last of that. Yes, it was quite the weekend.
Certainly was. I forgot all about that because of the excitement of the cup games, Gordon.
The result of the weekend was at Fir Park anyway.
Oh, I thought Motherwell were absolutely brilliant. I think I was on this show on Thursday with Wilson, and he accused me of being James Forrest's agent. And I think that come back to bite him, because Forrest comes on, what a difference. Gets the match winner, puts him into the cup final.
Did you get a cut for that, or?
No. I'm sure James is listening. Appreciates the encouragement,
the unconditional support.
I think I've helped him along the way.
Yeah, that's he was needing your support after nine league titles, 30 Scotland caps, 11 cups.
It was a good weekend in a lot of aspects, because my favourite Rangers player got the goal that could have brought them back into the game. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough. Arfield.
It's a bit of a lukewarm achievement, that. With no disrespect to Scott, if he's listening.
Well, Scott knows that I'm, once again, a bit of encouragement. But I thought Motherwell were absolutely brilliant, Gordon. But all excitement obviously came. And you've got to ask the question, why did Bobby Madden make that decision? It's incredible.
Well,
for me.
You as defender of the refs can come up with that answer between now and 8 o'clock. But I want to go onto the phones nice and early. 01419511025. David is a Rangers fan in Uddingston. As we said, David, day one on the training ground for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst meeting his Rangers players. What does he find? What does he find when he goes in there? What does he need to change? What are your thoughts?
Evening panel, hope we're all well.
Thank you.
My thoughts is there's two Marinham in there. I've had a free ride, especially this season. Likes of Tavernier, Goldston, Morelos as well. So I think it's time for like youngsters to come in. Like Patterson's got to get her on. Young Stephen Kelly, who looked really good in pre-season, and by all accounts, there's quite a lot of English teams looking at him. There's a young boy, McCann, as well, who's the B team, and the young Colombian boy who's scoring goals for fun in the B team. I think it's about time youngsters got a chance at Ibrox to show how good they are. And obviously, I'd like to see McCrory in goals as well.
I know Sunday was hugely disappointing, David. It must have been. But when a manager walks in and finds a team 4 points clear at the top of the league, do you think he's really likely to rip up half his starting 11?
No, but after Sunday's performance, it reminded me of the Hamilton performance before COVID. That's how bad it was. And if you're a manager sitting in that stand seeing that performance, you've got to get a reaction somehow. And I think, me personally, it should be some of the big hitters need to get a kick up the backside.
Yeah, it's an interesting place for Rangers, Roger, because like I said, they are 4 points clear at the top of the league. But Sunday was so poor that you can understand where fans like Stuart are coming from, because he won't be the only one who feels that way.
Yeah, I said in the show on Saturday, the most interesting thing for me was going to be how the Rangers players reacted to the departure of Steven Gerrard. I think with the exception of Tavernier and Morelos, the rest of that squad at the weekend were all brought to Rangers by Steven Gerrard. They've known nothing but Steven Gerrard, Gary McAllister and Michael Beale. And the speed with which Steven Gerrard left the club and took everybody with him, I think six members of staff went with him, including himself, it's bound to have had a sort of impact on all the players. Now, we can go one of two ways. Unfortunately for Rangers, they went the negative way. They were absolutely hopeless. And David's probably right. It probably was the worst Rangers performance since Hamilton before COVID. Mm. But what they now need to do is get their head round the fact Steven Gerrard's gone. Steven Gerrard's not coming back. The manager now is Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. And as a few people have said in the last few days, they either knuckle down and play for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, or their futures at Rangers might well be on the line.
It'll be interesting to see what he does, Gordon. He'll have his own thoughts. He witnessed it on Sunday.
What do you make of some of the suggestions that David's throwing out there?
I don't think he'll rip everything up, because you're quite right in what you're saying. Disappointing Sunday. They've still got a chance in Europe. They're still 4 points clear. So as much as the performances aren't up to scratch for the Rangers supporters, they're still up there. They're still in a good place just now with that. The one player that I would probably look at, the McGregor's a Golson, because after what he said, obviously comes in for a bit of headlines. Tavernier's always been the same, because there's a lot of Rangers fans out there wanting Patterson, because he's a brilliant player and he's a brilliant talent. But, you know, the Rangers manager already come out and said, this is my captain. So I don't see that changing just now, Gordon, if I'm going to be honest. The one for me on Sunday, I thought, probably the worst I've seen him was Morelos. I know that the young lad McCallum made a lot of substitutions and some people questioned him. I'd have thought more of him if he'd have just been brave enough to take Morelos off the park. I thought he contributed absolutely nothing. I think he'll be the main one that the manager will look at, and if he doesn't get a tune out of him, I don't see him perseverating with him.
Part of the issue is specifically on Morelos, Kemar Roof wasn't there, he wasn't available, he was injured having come back for playing for Jamaica. The issue with Goldson as well is Rangers only have two fit available centre-halves at the minute. It's Goldson and Balogun, and that's it. They're missing Philip Hollander, definitely missing Philip Hollander. You wonder if one of the things Giovanni Van Bronckhorst might look at is bringing back Nikola Katic in January to add to the competition. But to take David's points, I don't think Alan McGregor this season has played anything like the Alan McGregor of last season, but I would think John McLaughlin would come in for him before Robbie McCrory would come in for him. I don't see Stephen Kelly coming into the midfield just now. I think a fit again Ryan Jack, a back to form Scott Arfield are far more likely to get a chance in there. Patterson's the one everyone's interested in. Is there a way that the new manager can find to squeeze Patterson and Tavernier into the same team?
David, this is day one on the training ground. We always talk about this new manager bounce, whether such a thing exists. Is it likely that perhaps this group will just be galvanised by the new manager and things will look up?
Let's hope so, because you think they've been under the same management team for 3 years and obviously same coaching techniques day in, day out. So a bit of freshness about the training ground can't do any harm, and hopefully, because he plays the same 4-3-3, let's just hope that he brings the Dutch way and they get the necessary start that they need under the new manager, and hopefully everything goes well for us.
It's going to be interesting, that's for sure.
The only thing that concerned me about that, Gordon, about the new manager bounce, was every single one of those players in a semi-final, right, against Hibs, where they were really favourites to win it, especially after what Hibs have been through. Their form getting into that game was terrible. They'd obviously a layoff.
Played either, yeah.
Yeah, they'd obviously a layoff. There's a new manager sitting in the stand now. I honestly expected Rangers to be up a different gear and pressing this guy, if to say, you know, I'm your main man here. This is my strip. I'm going to keep this strip. I've never seen a Rangers team below par like that in my life. They were incredible, especially with a new manager sitting there. And he must have been sitting thinking to himself, you know, what is going on here? Because I'm looking to be impressed. They know I'm sitting here. And I think he was quite right in what he said. He'll look a few of them in the eye and then he'll make a decision.
Thank you, David. 01419511025. Stuart is in Clydebank. Same question to you, Stuart. Day one on the training ground for your new manager, what does he need to do now?
Well, it was a game on Sunday, and the past four or five games watching Rangers, out with the Motherwell game, sorry about that, guys, Gordon and Gordon.
Okay.
Out with that game, I think, honestly, it's been so boring. The game they beat Ross County at Ibrox, I've never seen a more lacklustre atmosphere in all my days going to Ibrox. And Sunday was just deplorable. As Gordon said, new manager sitting there, we're getting up to the game thinking, right, they've got to be up for this today. You know, Giovanni's going to be sitting in the stand and they're going to be to a man up for this game. Within about 10 minutes, and you could see Rangers had a wee bit of possession the first, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, and then Hibs scored their first goal, and then their second goal, and you're thinking, right, you can still come back for two, and then they scored their third goal. And it was just the most demoralising, and they just looked late. See, like Samarellas, he just looked lazy, unfit, and he needs to be taken out the firing line now. But he's not the only one. Even as Roger said, Alan McGregor has looked nothing like himself the last year. Borna Barisic, I do not know what's happened to him. He can't get past the first man across. He can't even beat him to the ball. And Tavernier struggled to get past the first man and things like that. I would be taking about, I know they're not going to be able to do it because they've not got the kind of players to bring in, but six or seven of them are lucky to be in playing there for Rangers just now.
Talk to me more about Alan McGregor, Stuart, because like Morelos' performances have been under the spotlight since the day he walked into the club. The Patterson Tavernier debate has been going on for a long time as well, but it was a matter of months ago Rangers fans thought Alan McGregor could do no wrong. They thought he could play till he was 55. They were delighted with what he was doing. And now I'm starting to detect a bit of this. Has it genuinely fallen off the cliff so quickly?
Honestly, see when you see him, see like last season, everything went right for Rangers and they were brilliant. And anything that came near McGregor, he seemed to spread himself and made himself look big and he was very hard to beat. See, now he's getting beat at his front post, he's getting beat at his back post. He just, it doesn't look as if he's going to make a save.
What do you make of that, Roger? Is it? I mean, he's not making glaring errors, is he? But is this because of where the bar has been set?
He's not making glaring errors, but he's not making the saves that he's made in the past. And I was just going to throw one back to Stuart there. He was talking about performance at the weekend. And I've been thinking for a couple of days, people are putting this down to the departure of Steven Gerrard. Would that result in performance have taken place under Gerrard? Was that just something that Rangers were building up to? Because you can't continue to give teams encouragement, lose the first goal. Yes, as Stuart says, they come back and they scored six at Fir Park, but they lost the first goal to Ross County, lost the first goal to Bronby, to Motherwell, to Aberdeen, to St Mirren. And they've managed to come back a lot of the time. It covered up a multitude of sins.
Because with due respect to those other teams, when you've got Martin Boyle and Kevin Nisbet, you're better, you're more dangerous than Motherwell, you're more dangerous than St Mirren, you're more dangerous than Livingston, Ross County.
The danger level rises when you get the first goal, because that means Rangers really have to come on to you, and it's opening more space for what is Martin Boyle's top quality, his pace. And I wonder if this wasn't so much a reaction. It might be a reaction to Stephen Gerrard.
Do you think it was coming?
I think it was maybe coming.
What do you think about that, Stuart?
Absolutely. That's what I said, the past 4 or 5 games, going to Ibrox or St Rangers, I've been bored out my nuts sitting at the game. You know, and they've got results, fair enough. The Motherwell one, they did score a few good goals, and probably the feel-good factor was the fact that Sakala hadn't really done anything, and they came on and they looked quite good. And I don't want to be harsh on Sakala either. I think he's a great runner, but see when you give him the ball, I've not got a clue what he's going to do. You know, and maybe that's what confuses defenders as well, right enough, but for me, he's not going to be the answer. And honestly, Morelos looks the most unfit I've ever seen him. I mean, there's always question marks asked about his fitness, but he just looks so unfit. And even on Sunday, I just thought he was absolutely lazy.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, like I said, we've done this with him so many times, but this does feel a bit different, because people kept talking about the link-up play, and he's different. He's been asked to do a different job. Don't worry that he's not scoring the same amount of goals, because he's not been asked to do that. You know, he's dropping deep and he's linking things up. I mean, that wasn't really there at the weekend. And if you're not able to properly hassle and put defenders under pressure when you're 3-1 down, it's always going to be difficult. And then that's why Goldson, Tavernier, the actual defenders, they're going to get stick, because you're not defending from the front.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But I was one that stood here on Saturday in the show, Gordon, and said,
oh, I know you did, don't worry, right, I've been waiting to pull you up
fine.
On this,
I'll put my hand up and said that I would have played Morelos. And I thought when the team come out, right, fine, I agree with that. Let me say, after 20-25 minutes, I was looking at him and thinking, you need a bit more here. And that's what I'm saying about, I think, and I don't want to go, because the young lad was put in a position, I think that if any Stephen Gerrard, for instance, was the manager there, and that was a performance, he'd have been off the pitch. There's no doubt he'd have been off the pitch.
To be fair though, and I'm not saying these were right, but David McCallum took Ryan Kent off about an hour in, so it's not like,
yeah, but I'm not agreeing with that either. But
I know, but
I'm not
saying it's right, but you are packaging that as if there was a fear of taking Morelos off. We took Ryan Kent off early. Yeah,
well, my point is, I just had when looking at Morelos, I totally agree. I thought he looked unfit, Gordon. I thought he looked overweight to me. I thought he didn't look sharp at all. I don't think he put the work effort in. I thought he looked uninterested, and I hate to say that about a professional footballer, because I like Morelos, I'm a fan. I've stood here many a night and backed his corner. But I thought on Sunday, and what really baffled me was the fact that there's a new manager sitting in the stand. I couldn't understand that.
Okay, Stuart, some interesting stuff. 01419511025. Do you agree or disagree with what you're hearing? Pick up that phone and let us know.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025 on the phones, and it's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Champions League football on tonight, of course, into the Europa League tomorrow. How many times does Ronaldo do the big dramatic free kick routine and then just run up and rifle it into the wall? I feel like I've seen that movie far too many times, as I've just witnessed on the TV.
Yeah, that's Manchester United wearing a blue strip tonight, Gordon. A couple of minutes ago during the break, Daz announced he'd gone 1-0 up, showed me the goal on his phone, and they were wearing a red strip, and it was for a couple of weeks ago.
It's quite changed.
That, I'm not surprised. 01419511025 on the phones. Let's go to Nadim, who's in Livingston. How are you tonight, Nadim? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm well, Gordon. Good. Yeah, thanks. For yourself, you good?
All good, all good. What's on your mind?
I'm just phoning up to to put a bit of realism into the context of the Rangers situation here. Do you know? I mean, a lot of my fellow Rangers fans are phoning up and giving it the, you know, it's doomsday. You know, it's the end of the world and all this. I just think, you know, it's one game we've lost. Yeah, we've not played great all season. I understand that. And some of the players, probably most of the players, certainly on Sunday, there went up to a task. And I get that it was a cup game. Totally get that. But it's one game. We're sitting 4 points clear at the top of the league. We've still got a great chance in Europe to go through in the Europa League playoff. Never mind the Conference League. You know, I'm pretty sure we'll get the Conference League at least. And you know, you've got people like Gordon Dale there, you know, having a go at Morelos. You know, I understand, Gordon, that he's not playing great now. I totally get that. He's not played great all season. But neither is half the Rangers team, but we're still sitting top of the league. Do you know, I think, you know, if he was getting the service and he was still playing poor, I would take your point, you know, maybe take him out of the team. But he's not been getting the service. None of the Rangers players have been playing out their skin. You've got to put in mind, you know, bear in mind, this is the exact same team that went last season undefeated, you know, went a full season without losing a game and done so good in Europe the last two seasons. So let's be a bit real here, you know, and put it into context.
Well, let's answer your question. I was asked what I thought Morelos at the weekend. Now, I said, if you listen to the show on Saturday, that I would have Morelos on my team. He was a man for the occasion. My opinion of him, and you can forget about service, you can still go and press, you can still go and work hard, you can still go and do a job for the team, whether you're on the ball or not scoring goals. It's all part of, you know, closing down, pressing from the front, whatever it may be. I thought Morelos on Sunday, and I keep going back to it, I'm still a big fan of his. I like him. I just thought he looked very uninterested to me. I thought his work rate was poor. I thought his overall football and game was poor. I thought everything about him on Sunday, and I'm not saying he was the only one, but I was asked about Morelos in the question, and I just don't think he performed anywhere near his ability. And you can make excuses if you want about service. You can still do other things in the pitch to help your team go and win a semi-final or a cup.
It's funny, strikers. If strikers don't score, they're either fat, or they're lazy, or they're disinterested. You know, Chris Boyd had been through his career, and if he hadn't scored for three games, oh, suddenly he was fat. If Daz hadn't scored by half time at Stark's Park, they wanted him banned for Jackie O's that night. I don't think Morelos is necessarily fat. The one thing I would say is, why is he coming so deep in the pitch? You know, he does his best work on the shoulder of the last defender. Think about the Old Firm game when Nir Beaton was sent off. The areas of the pitch where Morelos does his best work.
That's been for a long time now, though. Is that not instruction?
Exactly. But it's an instruction that's not helping him. It's an instruction that's not helping Rangers. And it's an instruction that's taking the best of his game away. I wonder if Giovanni Van Bronckhorst might come in and just say to him, listen, son, you're the centre forward. You stay up there. I don't want you coming in here linking the play. I've got Davis or Aribo or Jack or Kamara or Rafa. They link the play up. You stay up there and score the goal, son. And if he gets an instruction like that and is allowed to do the things that he's best at, it might see a smile on his face again.
Nadim?
I was just saying there, absolutely 100% agree with Roger. I think he's a goal scorer in the penalty box, and that's where he scores his best goals and gets the work done. So I agree. I think Giovanni will say that to him, that do, you know, stay in the box and do what you do best and score goals. But yeah, I just think, you know, the Morelos to me is a bit of a misnomer, because he's getting he gets applause when he plays well, but he also gets a bit unfair treatment for me. I understand what Gordon's saying there about he maybe looks unfit, but Gordon, you know, Stephen Gerrard, I probably agree with you, he maybe does look a bit unfit, but Stephen Gerrard still played him most games, you know?
It's not unfit that I'm worried about. You can be unfit or you can be 100% fit. I don't know how hard or what he trains. I'm talking about an effort. If I'm sitting watching that game, if you're asking me, can Morelos put more effort in to help his teammates? 100% for me. 100%. I'm not arguing that. I'm specifically talking about Morelos that you're talking about. So if you want to ask me about how well did, for instance, I know that goals in Tavern, how well did Balogun defend on Sunday? I thought it was terrible. So I can talk. You can talk about individuals. We're talking about Morelos here. That's what you come on to speak about there. And I'm saying that I thought Morelos, who I keep telling you I've been a fan of, thought he was shocking at the weekend. Terrible.
Yeah, okay. No, we'll agree to disagree on that, Gordon.
Here's the thing, Nadeem, I'm interested in, because you, and I'm actually delighted at the nature of the call, because I like balance, I like to hear it all, I like to hear all sides of it, so I'm delighted that's the way you feel. But you said something that interested me. You said, let's remember, this is the same team that went undefeated in the league last season. Now, you're using that as a comfort blanket, that makes you feel that things will head in the right direction. But for other people, that makes it even more worrying, Nadeem, because they're saying, how can that group of players who were undefeated last season now look like they did on Sunday?
I think the point that I'm trying to make is that it's always going to be difficult, and I think the panel will agree. You know, those standards were so high last season that it was always going to be really, really difficult to keep that consistency going. So there's always going to be a dip. In my view, it was always going to happen. But it's the same team, it's the exact same players that did it last season. So, and then the Steven Gerrard, and now in the Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, you know, hopefully, he likes to play attacking football as well. So I've absolutely no doubt, Gordon, that he'll get the best out of the players, and we'll be back to winning ways soon. It's one game we've lost, you know, and yes, yeah, in the cup. But let's put it into context. We're still top of the league. The league's the most important thing. Still top of the league, 4 points clear. And you know, once Giovanni's in there, getting his message across to everybody, it'll be fine. I think we just need to put that into a bit of context and just calm down a bit.
Roger?
Yeah, listen, I can understand the points Nadeem makes. It's going to be a very interesting week, because on Sunday, we can have a debate all you like about whether Giovanni Van Bronckhorst should have gone down the stairs, up the stairs.
I don't think he could. His work permit wasn't in until Monday morning, according to Ross Wilson.
So, park all of that. The Giovanni Van Bronckhorst era starts with Sparta Prague on Thursday night. And I would suggest to the Rangers players, they buck up their ideas. Otherwise, the new manager won't think twice about pushing them out of the team. The January transfer window's not that far away. It is a 4-point gap. 4-point gaps can disappear very quickly. Livingston away, on the plastic, Sunday lunchtime, so close to a European game. That's not a gimme at any time. So big games, two big games, two important games for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, and he needs the players to react positively.
I wonder what level of communication there was with Steven Gerrard and what there will be. He said he was sent an email. He said he will talk to him again, because managers always say that teams have a clean slate and players have a clean slate, and I guess by and large that's their intention. But as you mentioned, this is Tuesday. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst taking training today. They play on Thursday.
Yeah.
So, and this is no disrespect to him, but it surely can't be an entirely clean slate where you watch a training session and then it might well be that Brandon Barker's the best player in training and then all of a sudden he plays. It's not going to be like that, is it?
You'd love to get across the line,
and someone's going to tell me he's not in the Europa League squad or something. It was just an example.
You'd love to get across the line between Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and Steven Gerrard and hear the conversation and hear exactly what Steven Gerrard tells his successor about some of those players at the football club, because if you listen back to some of Steven Gerrard's post-match and pre-match media conferences this season, despite what he may have said to Emma Dodds, he didn't look that happy a lot of the time. Criticised Morelos, criticised other players in the squad, didn't look as content as he had done throughout last season. And you just wonder exactly what Steven Gerrard would tell Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Nadeem, it was nice to hear that side of things. Nadeem in Livingston is feeling okay. Everyone needs to calm down. Still 4 points clear. Nothing great to worry about. Mark in Helensburgh, would you go along with that?
To some extent, well, first of all, thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
To some extent, I would agree, actually. And to some extent, I would agree with what Nadeem's saying. I feel that Morelos comes in for quite a bit of criticism, but I think a lot of people ignore the fact that in some respects the supply to him wasn't that great, and he's not generally guilty of hiding, and neither is Ryan Kent actually guilty of hiding, which some players do. But my main point is, Roger was saying earlier on that this result has been coming, given the number of times that Rangers have lost not just the first goal, but a very early goal within the first 5-10 minutes. And I guess my kind of point on this, I know that people can criticise, and quite rightly, Tavernier and Barisic and various other players for their performances. But Goldson, I know he spoke after the match, and what he had to say will annoy a lot of people, including myself, and I think quite rightly, you know, 3-0 and 3-1 down at half time, the game's over, blah, blah, blah. But Goldson has been infuriating me for some time because of the fact that consistently he is at the centre of the mistakes that have taken place where Rangers have lost an early goal. He has consistently been part of it, either by doing something incredibly stupid or not being anywhere and not being where he really should have been. Now, he does various things which annoy me. And the first thing is when they lose a goal or something goes wrong, Goldson takes no responsibility himself. The first thing he does every single time is point to somebody and shout at them, or he'll point to a couple of people and shout at them when clearly the problem has been him. And that is just a man who does not see his responsibility. He does not acknowledge any failing in his part. He has also been, and I do blame Steven Gerrard for this, despite the fact that he consistently makes mistakes. He was never dropped. The other players must have looked at that and said, this man is undroppable, which I wonder how other players see that. And therefore, I think Conor Goldson, and the fact he hasn't signed a contract, gives me the impression that he has delusions of his own competence. And he has not, despite not signing a contract, nobody came rushing in for Conor Goldson in the summer. So, quite frankly, I think I would have him both dropped and out the door if it were not for the fact that we don't have anybody to replace him at the moment. But Nikola Katic covered up for Conor Goldson's failings in previous seasons. Philip Helander, I think, equally covered up for Conor Goldson's failings. And I do blame Steven Gerrard for that, and I certainly blame Conor Goldson. I think Conor Goldson has too many off-the-field aspirations and isn't focusing at all on his own limitations on the field. And, you know, the team are not playing well, but by gum, that man seems to have the Teflon qualities of nothing sticking to him with regards to his on-field antics, never mind his off-field antics.
Very convincing argument, certainly. Mark's clearly thought about this long and hard and backs up a lot of what he's saying. What do you make of Conor Goldson? Because there's the on-field performance, as Mark says, and then there is that post-match interview.
I'll take you back. The first call in actually tonight, David mentioned the performance against Hamilton pre-COVID. And that night at Ibrox started with some rather ill-judged remarks in the match programme by James Tavernier. Rangers had just been knocked out of the cup, I think, by Hearts. James Tavernier said things that they couldn't handle, the pressure, etc., etc. Things that really a captain of Rangers shouldn't be saying. They then lost that game against Hamilton. And there was then a very long time before James Tavernier could sort of make that up to the Rangers fans. And full credit to him. He did. He had an outstanding season last season, personally, and as captain, leading Rangers to the league title. So he has made it up in the eyes of the Rangers fans. There were some more ill-judged remarks by Conor Goldson in the wake of the game on Sunday. Now, when you add that to the fact he hasn't signed a deal, as Mark says, and when you add it to the fact that he didn't pull up many trees himself and hasn't been for some considerable period of time. Conor Goldson now has a lot of making up to do in the eyes of the Rangers fans. And like his captain, the only place for him to do it is on the field.
We're a bit short on time, but on the interview specifically, what concerns you most then? You shouldn't say those things publicly, or you shouldn't think those things at all? Because if that is the... People are debating a lot as to whether it should have been said, but is the biggest question, what if it's true? Is that not more of a...
No, I think if he thinks that he should be saying it publicly, the one thing that jumped out for me was, if a Rangers player believes that 3-1 down to Hibs in a Hamden semi-final at half time, that's the game gone. If Conor Goldson thinks that, I've no problem with him saying it publicly. Great if he says it publicly. The problem is, if that's actually what he believes.
Yeah, I thought it was. I don't think he should come out and say it publicly, Gordon. I think he does believe it. I really do, but I think
why keep it to yourself? Then?
Because of obviously the interest it's caused. I know that.
See, that's the old newspaper man. He just likes the headlines.
Yeah, he likes to hear that. Of course, he does. He thrives on that. But as a Rangers player, and I agree, because even at 3-1, I'm thinking to myself, right, okay, this ain't finished yet. Hibs have a long way to go, and I've got to say, congratulations. I thought Hibs were brilliant. But if Rangers score a second goal, then it's a different game, right? But I think if you're a Rangers player, especially Golson, who I voted for Player of the Year, remember, I thought he was brilliant when they won the league title, I don't think he should have come out and said that.
Mark, it was a pleasure to hear from you. Mark in Helensburgh, 01419511025. A great time to call because you could be up next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. Lots of reaction still to Sunday's defeat for Rangers, but perhaps with a view forward now, because Giovanni Van Bronckhorst taking training for the first time. What does he need to do? What does he need to change? How do you see it going forward? Let's hear a bit from the player of the month for October, though. He is Jota, the Celtic winger, and he says he's not ready to think about his future just yet. The 22-year-old just wants to enjoy his football for now.
My focus is not on that right now. My focus is on the team, on our games, on our victories, on the process. And I just want to stick with it and be a better person and a better player every day. And that's my aim. I never think in the future. I think in the present. Like, I'm a present person. So that's what I'm thinking. I wake up every day just thinking, okay, today I'm going to do this, this and this. I want to be better on this, this and this. What can I do? And that's what I'm looking for. So I'm not thinking what's going to happen next week or next month or next year. So just let me enjoy football and be happy.
What a level-headed young man. Can you imagine you at 22 giving an interview in Portuguese and describing your life's philosophy?
I would be bumming myself up left, right and centre, especially after the start this young lad's made. Obviously player of the month as well.
Dressing up as George Michael in Celtic's Christmas advert.
Listen, he's blending into the Scottish game. He's loving the club, everything about it. Supporters loving him. Life's good for him just now, and he'll probably get a lovely Christmas present.
When Daz was 22, he dressed up as Glenn Michael.
I don't even know who that is, so we'll move on. Brian, showing my age, I'll look him up at the break. Brian is a Celtic fan on the line. What is on your mind for the panel tonight, Brian?
Well, lads, good evening. It's good to hear you. The Bertie Auld final, 19th of December. I want to speak about the winners because I'm a wee bit perplexed at the show last night and a wee bit more tonight as well. We're being semi-finalists are forgotten. See, in 2 years' time, you see who lost the semi-final. In fact, I could ask you right now, who lost the semi-final 2 years ago? And I guarantee, well, Roger Hanna, he'll definitely tell me. But
you've picked the wrong night for that, Brian, but I get your point.
Right, so my point is this. The Bertie Auld final, that's what I'm going to do today, because I watched my team playing against Cup specialists for last year, St Johnson, excellent at snuffing out football, that kind of football I wouldn't want to watch every week. Excellent at stopping Celtic doing what Celtic are trying to do. So my word tonight is to Ange Postecoglou, what a respect I've got for that man, because as your old pundit himself, Hugh Keevan will say, a disaster, walked into a disaster. Well, he has tidied it up. He's brought in two or three great players for me. I mean, Kyogo and Jota are turning out to be exactly what we need. Weabada's probably a wee bit, he needs a wee push from Forrest, which we saw Forrest coming back into a game. If we can get our rear guard sorted in a wee bit more of a tight formation, a wee bit more bringing the Starfield in a wee bit more again, because the guy has come in not understanding Scottish football, but that's what the general opinion is, that Postecoglou's come in, nobody knew nothing about him, and nobody gave the man respect. We're starting to see that his ambitions, his vision of football is very much in a Celtic way for me to watch an exciting type of football. And he's in the exact same amount of cup finals as Steven Gerrard did, and you fawned over him for 3 years. So Postecoglou, I think, deserves so much credit and so much more respect than he was given at the very start. And I know we had a couple of stumbles, but we're now starting to see the fruits of the man's labour.
Yeah. I mean, that's still one fewer cup final than Callum Davidson, though. So should we still praise Callum Davidson more than Ange Postecoglou?
Absolutely.
Just checking. You knew all about him, Gordon. Yeah. Don't let Brian tell you that no one knew and no one respected him. Ex-teammate.
And I said from day one, Gordon, delighted that he's here. I think he brings a bit of character to the game. And I've got to say, I totally agree with Brian. Look, Celtic, they're a bit further on, which I thought they would be, because it was a horrendous job that he walked into, the rebuilding, the quality of players he lost, the time scale as well. I totally agree. I think he's done absolutely brilliant. Even if he goes on this season, and I don't know, he could win the League Cup. I fancy him to win the League Cup, of course. I think a lot of people will. He could win the league, but I still fancy Rangers to win the league. He could win the Scottish Cup. But I just think that by next year, after a season of settling in, I think this guy will turn this club really upside down. And I think he's in the way to do that just now. He's been brilliant for Celtic.
Did he phone you before he took the job?
I've spoken to him briefly, and we've went over the.
Don't say that. That'll be in the newspaper in the morning, oh. And people don't know that you're lying through your teeth at that. So just stop. We'll put you back in touch with him at some point.
I was talking about in Melbourne.
Before Brian goes, Hearts and Hibs
on the semi-final. Yeah, I knew you'd know that.
I looked it up.
Is he googling it? Was he?
He googled it, yeah.
No. On a serious note, though, Roger, you can only take these things one step at a time. And Ange Postecoglou, as we sit here on the 23rd of November, has got himself into the first cup final he could have. So,
yeah, listen, I think the Celtic supporters, Brian among them, are happy with what they've seen. I think the progress so far under Ange Postecoglou is probably a bit speedier than they were anticipating. There was an enormous, an unprecedented turnover of playing personnel at the football club during the summer. It was always going to be a big ask. And I think they like what they're seeing in terms of the style of play. You know, Brian's phoning here at a time when Celtic are 4 points behind Rangers, and he's pouring praise at Ange Postecoglou, and he's every right to do so. They're only third in the Europa League group, and he's pouring praise at Ange Postecoglou, and he's every right to do so, because the Celtic fans are liking what they're seeing with their own eyes. They're liking Jota and Kyogo and Abada and Turnbull and McGregor as captain. They're liking it, and they're beginning to get greater hope for the future than they thought they would have at this stage of the season.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Thank you to Sandra, who sent me Glenn Michaels' Wikipedia page. Great, I'll spend the break reading that one, Sandra. Thank you very much. 01419511025. That's the number you need right now for Beat the Pundit. You need to get the call in before 7 o'clock, and it could be you who's taking on Roger Hannah minus one or Gordon DL. Let's hear from you.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Roger Hannah are here. It's 01419511025 to join in. Lots of interesting stuff about Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's first day taking charge of Rangers, in terms of what he's walked into and what he should change, if anything. And to be fair, lots of people on the other side saying, no need to change too much, we're 4 points clear at the top of the league. So lots of interesting stuff there. Keep it coming in, whatever your viewpoint. And we've heard some delighted Celtic fans after you getting in to the League Cup final as well. What about this ticket allocation? Jack Ross says Hibs are baffled by the number that they've been given for the League Cup final against Celtic. What's your view on that? Now's a good time to share it. 01419511025.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Defeat for the pundits last night. Alex Ray going down 4-3 It was a tough fought match, but the listeners are one up this week. So let's see what Robert
Kevin from Durham Chapel come on and did him. Is that right?
He did indeed. And he was him and his mates were giving it large on Twitter, I think.
Oh really?
Yeah, there was some. Yeah, Alex Reid wasn't happy about it. Anyway, Robert's in Easterhouse. Hi Robert.
Hiya.
Have you ever played before, Robert?
No, I never played before, but I listen quite frequently. So
okay. And you do alright when you listen at home?
Normally get 3 or 4, but
okay, that might be enough to beat DL. I don't think it'll be enough to beat Roger, but we'll see how we go. Heads it is Roger, tails it is Gordon DL. Just on that, I keep getting sent that a few people have now sent me, because apparently the other night on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and if I can just quickly find it, there we are. Lee Duncan was the latest person to send me it. Apparently the question on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was the full name of the country known as the UAE is United Arab what? And the choice is empires, estates and so on. And then Emirates in there. So
yeah, okay.
You learned your lesson on that one. Yeah, that was actually on.
I would have phoned Roger.
But that's the power of this show though. People are sitting watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and they just think of you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So heads it's Roger, tails it's Gordon. And it is tails, Gordon DL. Callum, would you agree?
Yes.
I'm getting accused of it always being tails. It's not my fault, right, Gordon DL? Let's give you some Clyde 2 to listen to so that you don't know what Robert is saying. Robert, 30 seconds. Answer as many questions right as you can. And if you don't know, pass quickly and we'll move on to the next one, okay?
Always.
Let's go. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Name any player who has played for Rangers this season but not played more than an hour.
Brandon Barker.
Which Celtic manager signed Thomas Gravesen and Yuri Jarasic?
Gordon Strachan.
How many SPFL sides have Albion in their name?
3.
Who did Brendan Rodgers face in his first cup final at Celtic?
Hearts.
Which Scottish top flight player was nominated for a FIFA Fair Play Award today?
Scott Brown.
Name any backroom staff member Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has brought in.
Roy Mackay.
Okay, let's bring Gordon Deal back. Gordon, can you hear us?
I can.
Good, same set of questions to you. Yeah. 30 seconds. I just think this first question is going to fry his brain.
Yeah, probably anyway, will.
Right, ready? 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Name any Rangers player who has played this season but for less than an hour.
Kelly.
Which Celtic manager signed Thomas Gravesen and Yuri Jarasic?
Neil Lennon.
How many SPFL sides have Albion in their name?
3.
Who did Brendan Rodgers face in his first cup final at Celtic?
Aberdeen.
Which Scottish top flight player was nominated for a FIFA Fair Play Award today?
Scott Brown.
Okay. What do you think, Robert? What's the verdict?
I think he might have bit me.
You didn't get as many questions in as Robert.
I was struggling there.
Yeah, you took your time on the first one.
I was like the millionaire. You put me into
I think producer Callum got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. That question's tough for a beat the pundit with the clock ticking. Not tough for you though. Stephen Kelly is one of the answers.
Oh, I'm loving that.
Name any player who's played for Rangers this season but not played for more than an hour. So Ryan Jack, Stephen Kelly or Jermaine Defoe. And you got Stephen Kelly. I'm impressed.
Listen, I'm impressed.
1-0.
And I answered it. Ask me that tomorrow, Thursday, and I won't get it.
Thomas Gravesen and Yuri Jarasic were signed by Gordon Strachan. Robert got it.
He said, I know that with Wilson.
Equalised straight away. You both invented a third team who've got Albion in their name. It was just Albion Rovers and Stirling Albion. So it's 1-1. Brendan Rodgers in his first cup final at Celtic, Roger.
I would have said Motherwell, but I might be wrong.
Aberdeen.
Was it Aberdeen?
Yes.
Jeremy never got it.
No.
2-1 a Dazzler.
Scott Brown has been nominated for a FIFA Fair Play Award for that gesture.
Yeah.
Following Glenn Kamara's racist abuse. You'll remember that one. I went up to him before the game, put his arm round him. So you both got that. So you still one in front.
Oh yeah, that's his tiebreaker.
All comes down to the last question. Name any backroom staff member Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has brought with him to Rangers.
Oh, I wouldn't have got that.
Well, Roy Mackay and Robert got it. So Robert equalises. Last kick of the ball. We're on to the tiebreaker. Yes, love the tiebreakers. Okay.
No.
Here's the deal, Robert. I will ask the question. I'll get Gordon to write his answer down, and I'll then invite you to give me your attempts. Okay.
No worries.
Right, I've got two tiebreakers. I'm going to choose this one wisely. Ready?
You've got to choose a hardest.
What was Steven Gerrard's win percentage as Rangers manager? Write it down, please. What was Steven Gerrard's win percentage as Rangers manager? Robert, what would your attempt be?
64%.
Gordon DL. Clearly arithmetic is not his strong point. This would be
it's more than that, isn't it?
Steven Gerrard, who went undefeated in the league last season and so on.
We'll
need to take your first answer, Gordon.
Is it that?
You think Steven Gerrard had a 43% win rate at Rangers? That's the sort of win percentage that like a mid-table team would have, or thereabouts.
Is it 76?
Robert said 64, when the answer is 65.5. Oh, Robert, outstanding. The signed ball's on its way to Easter House.
Well done, Robert.
I'm not even worried about my answer now. That was brilliant.
Well done, Robert.
Fantastic, cheers.
Did you know that? Had you read it somewhere in recent days?
No, it was genuinely a guess.
Brilliant, and a good guess at that. Well done to you, thanks for taking
65
part.
65, and what was the answer? 65 point what?
No, he said, Robert said 64, and the answer was 65.56.
Brilliant, Robert. I take my heart
43?
Off. 43? I'm terrible at these.
Yeah, you are, because did you not have a win
Craig
percentage?
Brown.
Yes, it was Craig Brown.
Craig Brown's win percentage.
That's why I went 80 or something.
That's why I went lower.
Oh, you're woeful at this anyway.
Would have won the World Cup if he'd done the way Daz had predicted.
I'm not good at the percentages.
You're not on it. You know what? The answer's the stuff of legend. I was outside Hampden ahead of the semi-final on Sunday, and I met someone and they said, oh, honestly, fish hooking. What about fish hooking? You got an update from last week when you thought you were being fish hooked, i.e. catfished by a lady from Sweden. Have you given her your bank details?
Yes, I wondered how I woke up today and I couldn't afford the peril. So everything's rosy in the garden.
Please tell me you've not made contact there, have you? Please don't fall for it.
We're playing golf next week.
Well, we tried, folks. We did. What's even more disturbing is
she's on a flight.
Someone started sending me things about like an alternative meaning for fish hooking.
I have no idea. So I don't.
It's a family show and I couldn't possibly go there.
Oh, is it?
Steady.
01419511025. Let's bring in Ben, who is a Hibs fan. Talk to us about the game briefly first at the weekend, Ben, because you're from Clydebank. You know how this works. Inevitably, all of Hibs' great work gets overshadowed on shows like this by Rangers' disappointment. So wax lyrical about your team first.
Yeah, I was absolutely delighted with the performance on Sunday. I think too often we've came out probably similar to Scotland, not off the mark. Don't really get into games until the second 45, but Jack Ross spoke about it before the game and we did just that. 3 goals up by 35 minutes. I was probably disappointed actually to lose a goal. I thought Porteous could have done better with the clearance, but man to man, I thought we deserved the win and hopefully we can continue with that
busy
run of fixtures into the final.
Very busy. I mean, Roger, if people are looking at Rangers falling below par and suggesting, well, you know, it's been a disrupted week because there's not been a manager and maybe that takes its toll. This is a Hibs side who lost 4 games in a row, then did not play for 3.5 weeks due to a COVID outbreak. Martin Boyle scored a hat-trick after isolating for 10 days or whatever it was, then going to China to play with Australia and coming back a couple of days before the final. So to put in that performance under those circumstances was remarkable, was it not?
Yeah, it was breathtaking. They hadn't won, I think, since the end of September. And they hadn't been playing well at all. I'd seen them a couple of times and they weren't. Ben will tell you himself, they hadn't been impressive or as impressive as they'd been in sort of, you know, previous seasons. So to produce a performance, and Daz is right, and I said it earlier on, the better team won the cup semi-final, deserved to be in the final on the 19th of December. They've now, having not played very much football, I think there's, we're sitting here the last week in November, Hibs have 11 games to play between now and Hogmanay. An awful lot of football. It will test Jack Ross's squad to its very limits. It's not the preparation for a National Cup final he would have wanted. I spoke to him this afternoon and I'm not going to say he's at the end of his tether. He's a very intelligent guy and he takes these things for what they are, but he's annoyed about the schedule. He's annoyed about the ticket allocation. He doesn't feel enough has been done to ensure that not just Hibs but Celtic as well are in the best physical state to compete in a cup final on the 19th of December, because Celtic have a big fixture log jam as well coming up in a few competitions. So great the Hibs are there, but it's not going to be the build up to the cup final that they would have wanted.
You give us your thoughts on this ticket allocation stuff. 01419511025. Hibs are frustrated. They've been given 17,500 tickets for the game, which is about a third. It's just more than a third, isn't it, of Hampden's 51,000 capacity. What do you think about that first, Ben? Let's get the Hibs fans' perspective. Is that fair or not?
No, I don't think it's fair at all. I think irrespective of who's playing and how many fans have been taken to a game previous, the allocation should start with a 50-50 split. If Hibs don't sell their tickets, then I have no issue with those unsold tickets going to Celtic. But to start an allocation, I don't know, what was it you said, 70-30 or 60-40, sorry?
Yeah, about that.
17,500 either way. It's just, I can't see any other league where they would start a cup final in a neutral venue with a non-50-50 split of tickets. I can't see it anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, the counter to that, I think, although Jack Ross says he doesn't agree that this should be in the equation, is that it was under 10,000 that Hibs took on Sunday to the semi-final, and they're now getting 7,500 more than that. Do you buy into that at all as being, you know, acceptable?
No, I think your argument is valid, but as I say, at a neutral venue for a national cup, why wouldn't we start it? Use a bit of common sense for once in Scottish football. Start it at 50-50. If we don't sell our allocation, just similar to what we've done with Rangers, then those tickets go to Celtic. I just see no other reason not to do that.
Why would you not do it that way, Roger? And what about this argument? Well, hold on, you took 10,000, less than 10,000 at the weekend. You're getting 17,500 for this, so stop your complaining. That's the sort of thing that you would hear.
Yeah, listen, the first thing I'll say is I wasn't at all surprised the way the tickets were allocated yesterday, because that seems to be the way the SPFL do it. If you were starting with a blank sheet of paper, though, the most equitable way of doing things would be a 50-50 split. Now, if the cup final one year was, as the League Cup final was a few years ago, Hibernian versus Livingston, then Livingston probably won't fill half of Hampden. So you then allow Hibs fans to buy up the rest. Now it's Celtic versus Hibs. Well, hang on, Hibs fans might just fill up 50% of the ticket allocation. And if they don't, then let Celtic get the rest of the tickets. But listen, we'll have Celtic fans phoning saying, this decision's quite right. We have 60,000 every week. Hibs only have 15,000 every week. You've heard the arguments on both sides before, but if you were starting from scratch, having done this for the first time, the fairest way of doing it is starting with a 50-50 split, and as Ben says, if Hibs don't sell them, they can go to Celtic.
What do you think, Gordon? Should you always just start 50-50 and then work your way back, or does the fact that Hibs took fewer than 10,000 at the weekend mean that they should be happy to get 17, if that's the right way to phrase it?
I can see arguments on both sides, but in my opinion, I'm with Ben and Roger on this. I think you should start 50-50. If you don't sell the tickets, then they go to, obviously, Celtic, who would snap them up. Now, you can go into 10,000 at the semi-final. What it allows you, Gordon, is I think that Hibs would sell out their allocation, right?
You think they would do the full half, or is that not?
I think they would, right? And the reason, because everyone comes out in a cup final. Now, the thing about it is, it gives them an opportunity. Say Hibs had to go and win that cup final, and there's some people there that hadn't been to games before, fell in love with the game, fell in love. You could end up getting more supporters out of it. But I'm a great...
That's not the SPFL's consideration, though, really, is it?
But my thing about the allocation is simple. And I agree with, and Ben's very sensible in what he says. Look, we deserve 50-50. They do, because they're part of the cup final.
So just to test the theory fully, you give Hibs 2.5 times the amount that they took to the semi-final.
Yeah,
the weekend.
I would give them the 50-50, and what they don't sell, I would then take it back and give it to the Celtic supporters. I think they should have the opportunity, because they deserve the right, because they've earned the right to be in the cup final.
Here's what Jack Ross thinks of it all.
I think, first of all, naturally we want as many of our supporters as possible in the stadium. And second of all, recent history and beyond shows that we would sell that allocation easily in terms of the numbers that have attended. And even in terms of the semi-final aspect of it, I think historically the semi-finals, the League Cup in Scotland, have not always attracted big attendances, even when the biggest clubs have been involved in them. So I'm not sure if it's a good barometer to use as to how you set final allocation. But again, we've argued our case and it's fallen upon deaf ears, so it's about us then using it as motivation again.
Thank you to Ben for sharing his thoughts. What do you lot think out there? 50-50, is that the way it should start and work back, or are Hibs pushing it by asking for more when they only took 10,000 to the League Cup semi-final? What do you think? 01419511025. Before we go any further, let me run this past you.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
It's getting close. Cash for Kids Mission Christmas is back, and I think we all know, given what everyone's been through recently, Christmas this year is going to be particularly difficult for lots of families across Glasgow and the West. And that is where you come in. You can make a difference to those families by supporting Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. You'll have heard me banging on about this and my colleagues here on Clyde One urging you to help out with Mission Christmas, but your fundraising and donations, they really do. It makes such a difference to children living in poverty in our area. 100% of the funds raised go straight back to support those families most in need. So every single penny you give us goes back to those who need it. To find all the details on how you can donate, go to clyde1.com/mission, and that's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce Structural Steelwork Fabrication and Construction.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Some more calls lined up about this ticket allocation for the League Cup final, so we'll get to them very soon. What a question we've been sent for the full-time teaser tonight by Graham Barry. It's a bit different, this one. I would say it's got an English football feel to it, which is fine. And we're only looking for six names. So I don't anticipate it being one of them where you're going to throw loads of names at me. I think you'll really need to sit, take your time and think about it between now and the end of the show. With Ole Gunnar Solskjaer getting sacked at the weekend, there have been six teams since the English Premier League started that have only had one manager in the whole time they've spent in the English Premier League. Can you name the team and the manager? Does that make any sense to you?
No.
So forget Solskjaer. That's actually got nothing to do with it.
This is going to be teams who were only sort of briefly in the league,
potentially, right? So,
and only had one manager.
There are six teams since the Premier League started that have only had one manager in the English Premier League.
Right. Well, one that comes to mind would be Sean Dyche at Burnley.
No. Was Owen Coyle not in the Premier League with Burnley?
Oh,
Eddie Howe.
Oh yeah, he might have been. No, because
Eddie Howe. Yes.
What are you looking so astonished for, Roger? I thought that was a terrific shout.
So the only guy who's ever managed Bournemouth in the top flight was Eddie Howe.
Alright, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, Roger.
Graham Barry, who sent the question in, says his source was Wikipedia, so you can blame him and Wikipedia if it's not right. But there we go.
Wikipedia's getting a few shows between Glenn Michael's Wiki page and the answer here. We've just actually had a regular listener, Raymond Campbell's got in touch to say Glenn Michael is still doing well. He lives down the road from him, and he often sees him in the post office in Maidens.
Good Glenn, good luck to him. Kicking a ball.
In his lamp.
And we'll leave it there because that's brilliant. So there are six teams in English Premier League history who've only had one manager in their entire time spent in the top flight. So for instance, it's good when you've got an example to work off. Bournemouth, Eddie Howe, he's the only guy that's managed them in the top flight. Are you pointing at? Alright, someone scored, have they?
We actually have got a goal for Manchester United this time. That is Paul Ronaldo. There we go. 1-0 away to Villarreal.
Good goal too.
77 minutes.
Michael Carrick masterminded it. He's got the suit on.
Oh, he's got the suit on.
You're not having that, are you?
No, I hate it.
Why? So you want him to turn up looking like a frustrated PE teacher like
he's
you?
He's not the manager.
He is tonight.
Yeah, but just I've seen this movie 100 times. Look at that, and he's cool. 100 times. It's a lovely suit, I've got to say. But that's a terrific goal for Manchester United. They need that.
It's pretty poor from Villarreal's point of view. But anyway,
good finish.
Right, let's go back to the phones. John Paul's and Rob Royston. What do you think about this ticket allocation, John Paul?
How's it doing, guys?
Good, thanks.
Listen, I think what the boys said earlier on sounds like a kind of common sense. It really doesn't work. Like, imagine you're putting 50% up and then Hibs don't sell them. And then Celtic fans start them up. You're going to have Celtic fans mixed in amongst Hibs fans. And that could be a logistical nightmare.
I think, though, because we've seen this before, that just depends on the order that you sell them, John Paul. I'm probably going to do a terrible job of describing this, but say you take the Hibs end, if you like, and you just start selling them from one end and you release them in sections, and then that way the tickets that would be remaining would be next to the Celtic fans. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, yeah, but still as well. I mean, you're only taking 17,000 to the semi-final. What chance you got to take 30,000 to the final? You know what I mean? If you're going to get 30,000 there or whatever, then surely you should have had your home games most times, so... I can see both sides of the argument. Obviously, I'm a Celtic fan, but yeah. I just don't see why Jack Ross is piping up a day. I don't. He should, in my opinion, should know a bit better. But
this is always going to be. We live in such a strange football environment, Roger, because we've got two mammoth clubs compared to the rest, and then you've got Hibs, etc., who are in that sort of mid section. And the reason that Celtic fans are never going to, are unlikely to agree with this, is at best they're getting under half of their home support. They're getting less than half of their home support into a cup final. Whereas if Hibs were to get the 50-50 split, they would be getting double their home support or thereabouts.
Listen,
you're coming at this from very different sides, aren't they?
We're in a unique country with two enormous clubs. Then for me, three sort of middle ranking big clubs, Aberdeen and the two Edinburgh sides, Gordon. And then you've got the rest. And I whisper that because producer Callum's a big Dundee United fan. So had it been Celtic against, and no disrespect to any of them, Inverness or Ross County or Dunfermline or something, you could see the force for Celtic getting 60, 70, 80% of the crowd. I can see both sides of the argument, and I can see Jack Ross's argument. Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen, they are big teams, and if they were offered 50% of the available tickets, they would be able to sell 50% of the available tickets. I think that's his gripe.
I think what John Paul is saying is that if you're that big a team, you take more than 9,000 to the semi-final. Is that unfair then?
No, listen, it's a perfectly legitimate argument. Jack Ross was trying to argue against it today when I spoke to him. Listen, we're not going to find common ground. We're not going to find agreement between the two sides on this. And it's always the same when ticket allocations come out for cup finals, Gordon. There is no right answer to this.
If your take, John Paul, though, is that you seem doubtful that Hibs could take the 50-50, they could take the 25 or whatever it would be, 1,000, they would say, well, we've done it in previous cup finals. Why not just find out? Why not sell it in those sections, like I say? And if it does come to it that Hibs only shift 16,000 or whatever, then Celtic get their way in the end, do they not?
That is a good point. As I said, the kind of point I was making, I just thought it was a logistical nightmare, but the way you've described that, the way it sold, would obviously change my mind just that little bit. I can now see a wee bit more of the kind of Hibs end of it. Mm-hmm. But, as I said, it's not just because Celtic are a bigger club, but Celtic are packing their stadium out every single home game, so you've got there's a demand there. Maybe I'm just a bit blinkers on, but, as I said, but if Hibs can't fill the stadium up, or half the stadium with a semi-final, then... All right, maybe they can for the final, but I just don't see how that's a little bit fair.
Okay, I get that, John Paul, thank you. And to be accurate as well, I think we, or the clubs, or the league, or whatever, we have messed up in the past that sort of selling it in order and giving tickets back. I'm sure there was a bit of a scandal with one of them a couple of seasons ago. Let's see what Robert and Barhead, who are you in agreement with here, Robert?
I'm definitely in agreement with the how it is at the moment, Celtic getting a greater allocation. And for a couple of reasons, I just think it's important that fans who have went to the semi-finals should be rewarded. And for the best part, that's going to happen here. And that works for the Hibs support as well. All their supporters will be rewarded. All the ones that went to the semi-final, they'll get their ticket. All the ones who have chose to jump on the bandwagon because they've reached a final, a few of them will get some as well. So for that reason, I think it should never be 50-50. And on top of that, I know the last caller there mentioned about fans all being mixed in, and I understand that will not happen, but then it's last minute tickets going on sale and the segregation all being moved and all that kind of stuff. It's just the administration for the clubs involved as well. It's not fair when you can just put them straight out there and sale to each club from the beginning as they're going to do it and let the tickets get sold and save all the hassle later on.
I mean, I get that to an extent, Roger, and call me naive because I know Scottish football makes life difficult for itself at times, but in 2021 I like to think that the logistics shouldn't come into it. Fine, if people have got, I mean, Robert's put his case well, Jack Ross as well, but to suggest that we couldn't just put deadlines in place and say, look, Hibs fans, you need to snap them up by this date, or this amount then goes on sale to Celtic fans, moving the segregation admin for ticket offices, that should be worked around.
Yeah, 100%.
But the other side of it, fine. If you don't agree with that, then so be it.
Yeah. Listen, as we say, we're not going to find an equitable solution to this. Celtic supporters will want more tickets. Hibs fans will want more tickets. There's a limit to the number of tickets. But I do think nowadays you should be able to get to that situation where you start selling the tickets.
So if you were in charge, though, you would do the 50-50 to start?
Yeah. Well, listen, you've got whatever it is. What's the Hamden capacity? Just over 50,000. You're going to take away the VIP seats. So that's going to leave you with whatever it leaves.
Just call it 50, because my arithmetic can't handle anything.
So why don't you start selling them from either side? Build your way around. When Hibs stop selling, then you give them a deadline and you start selling them to the Celtic supporters who don't get tickets. They will be, unfortunately, when Celtic and Rangers get to cup finals, because of the size of Hamden, a lot of Celtic and Rangers fans don't get tickets for finals and semi-finals. It would be Celtic and Rangers fans disappointed at the weekend there. They didn't get into their team's semi-finals. There are so many Celtic and Rangers fans. That is just what happens, unfortunately.
What about Robert's point, though, of rewarding those who went to the semi-final?
I take on board what Robert says. It's a very difficult one, Gordon. I'm with Roger on this, and probably with a lot of people. I can see both sides to the argument. If I was supporting Celtic, then I'd be saying the exact same. You know, we've 60,000, we had so many at the semi-final, look at what Hibs. If you're a Hibs supporter or a Hibs manager, what Jack Ross is quite rightly saying is, look, we're in the final, we deserve to be treated the same way as any other club. So we deserve to get our 25,000, whatever it may be, let's just call it that. So I can understand where they're coming from. He knows he's got to go, he might get more than 17,500. He might get that 20, he might get the 25. I think Hibs would come very close to selling out the allocation. And I think they deserve the chance because they're in the final to do it. If they can't do it, then there's obviously got to be a way that the Celtic fans get rewarded that wanted to snap them up.
Okay, interesting stuff. Thank you, Robert. It was nice to hear your side of things. Robert in Barrhead, 01419511025. What about this story today? I like this. We touched on it in Beat the Pundit. Scott Brown nominated for the FIFA Fair Play Award for offering to support Glenn Kamara after that racial abuse. If you'll remember it, everyone remembers it, but Scott Brown was obviously Celtic captain at the time. He approached Kamara shortly before an Old Firm game last season, and that was in the aftermath of the Andre Kudela incident in the Europa League. And it's been given worldwide recognition, Roger, that small gesture.
It's absolutely terrific. Now, the first thing to say is, don't build your hopes up, Bruni, because you're up against the Danish medical staff and players who helped save Christian Eriksen's life at Euro 2020. But I think just to be on that short list of three is a fantastic achievement. It was a great gesture of solidarity, as I think it's been referred to by FIFA. You know, it was really a hands across the divide, if you like, to go so soon after Glenn Kamara had been subjected to vile racist abuse at a Europa League game last season, and to basically say, we're all with you, Glenn, was a terrific gesture by Bruni. He thoroughly deserves any praise he gets for it, and I think it's a really nice touch by FIFA to put him on this shortlist for their Fair Play Award.
Yeah, it certainly is. Keep your calls coming in, by the way. Still plenty of time to get in touch. Let me just check in quickly on this teaser. So Graham Barry wants the guys to name the six teams who, since the English Premier League started, have had only one manager in the English Premier League. So for instance, in the entire time that Bournemouth were in the top flight, Eddie Howe was the manager. Can you think of any other examples?
What about this season? Thomas Franks at Brentford?
Yes, it's always good to spot that potential loophole in the question. Thomas Frank at Brentford.
And what about Ian Holloway at Blackpool?
Brilliant, well done. Okay, three down and three to get. So there's plenty of time left. Get the calls in, 01419511025. More on Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, perhaps. More on the ticket allocation. Maybe Funzo Ojo's sending off and the failure to get that overturned. Pick up the phone and let us know.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home straights with Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel. If you're interested in the Champions League, Man United are 2-0 up at Villarreal. Almost done. Jadon Sancho with his first goal for the club. We're on the teaser tonight. Can you name, according to Graham Barry, there are six teams who have been managed by only one man in their entire English Premier League history. For example, Bournemouth, Eddie Howe's the only man who's led them in the English Premier League. Thomas Frank at Brentford, Ian Holloway at Blackpool. Three to get.
Come on, Dazzler.
I'm going to go Joe Royal at Oldham.
Joe Royal at Oldham is an outstanding shout. Well done to you.
Hold on, I've got another one.
All right, okay.
Harry Redknapp at Portsmouth.
Harry Redknapp at Portsmouth.
See, yeah, go on. Go on.
Nah.
No.
Nah.
He led you up the garden path.
No, I know the nah.
It's a yeah.
Nah,
I think of some of the managers they've had that they must have been in the top flight. Avram Grant, Steve Cotterill, Tony Adams, Graham Ricks.
I forgot about them.
What about
those
the
guys? And they might not have been all in the top flight, but one of them was, I'm sure.
Okay. What about the lad at Huddersfield up? David Wagner?
No.
No.
Apparently not. Okay, we'll leave it there. Let's bring in Andy, who's a Rangers fan. How are you feeling about things at the moment, Andy?
I'm actually feeling it's not as bad as some of my Rangers fans. I've been phoning in since the Cup semi-final on Sunday. I've seen that game wholly different for everybody. I don't know why. Maybe I'm looking at a different game. But we absolutely battered Hibs. I mean, we didn't turn up in the first maybe 20 minutes of the game. Even in the first, in fact, in the first 10 minutes of the game, we had a few good chances. And then a couple of lapses. The first goal shouldn't have stood. It was never a penalty in the month of Sundays. Their other goal was a good goal, fair enough. But it was also a defensive lap by Tavernier. But the amount of shots and possession we had against Hibs, I just don't see what all the doom and gloom's for.
Run some of this by me. Why shouldn't the first goal have stood?
Well, the first goal was stood. I can't remember who it was when the ball came in and the Rangers player went for it. You can actually see the Hibs player grabbing them and he kind of spun round and then it went to Boyle and then it hit it in the net.
I mean, Balogun falls over. Is that the one you're talking? Or he goes down, certainly. Is that the bit you mean?
Yeah, I've seen people on the internet saying the same thing, but most people are saying no, it's no. But if that happened to the other side, if that happens in the cup final in a couple of weeks' time, they'd be shouting for the same thing, you know. And the penalty, I mean, the penalty was never a penalty in a month of Sunday. Never.
Seriously?
That was never a penalty. There's no way that was a penalty.
Roger Hannah, would you go along with that? My seriously is not even because of what I think. I've just not heard anyone doubt it. And Stephen Davis didn't seem to care.
For me, the first goal was a goal. The penalty was a stonewall penalty. As soon as I saw Stephen Davis make the challenge, I thought, that's a penalty. Hibs deserved to go through. Their defensive display was terrific. And I think 4 shots on target to 3 shots on target, that's not a battering for either side.
I mean, obviously Rangers did have more possession and so on, as you would expect. So do you not think there was anything, there was nothing wrong with the performance, Andy? You don't think there was something missing? You don't think there was something worrying about that performance?
There was a couple of players. I do get the new manager was in the stand. He wasn't in the dressing room, and you'd think they would be trying to impress him. But I think there's a few players there that know that their time's up at Rangers. Morelos, one of them, Goldson, another one. People are slagging off McGregor. A couple of months ago, I think you brought it up to one of my fellow Rangers supporters earlier on. A couple of months ago, McGregor couldn't do any wrong. Play to 55 and that, as you said. But I really don't see the doom and gloom. We're 4 points ahead in the league. First Old Firm game, we won. I really honestly think as well, with Gio coming in, it's a massive upgrade in Gerrard. Now, I'm not just saying that to be a wee bit, you know, be him leaving and things like that. I think Gerrard's heart, I think he lost the heart in Scottish football. Not in Rangers and such, but in Scottish football after he won what he said, he'd done his remit and stopped 10 in a row. And I think the heart was out of it, and I think that results in the performance you're seeing this season. Although we're still 4 points ahead in the league, we've not been playing great, but we're not playing that bad. I mean, we got to a semi-final, we're still in the Scottish Cup, we've got a chance to get through in Europe, and we're 4 points ahead in the league.
Do you think semi-finals are good enough? Do you think that's a good enough achievement for teams like Rangers and Celtic, Andy, getting to semi-finals of domestic cup competitions?
Nine trophies out of one trophy out of 9. Gerrard, to me, didn't he do a good enough job. He stopped the main one, the big one. But to me, he didn't do a good enough job. He was a big name, and everybody loved him while he was here and things like. Because he drew attraction in Scottish football.
No, but I wasn't talking about even Stephen Gerrard. You're saying there, you know, it's not all doom and gloom because we're 4 points clear at the top. We got to a cup semi final. You know, you've put that in there as if that's some sort of achievement for Celtic and Rangers. That's a bare minimum, surely.
No, it's no achievement, you know, and
I'll be honest with you, even if Gerrard was still involved on Sunday there, I still think the performance maybe no. I don't know. To me, the performance was okay. It really was. I think we did batter them. I know Roger saying it was only four shots, but I read somewhere else it was a bit more than that. Possession 79%.
But again, Andy, something would need to go seriously wrong for any team to have more possession than Celtic or Rangers. It's just not going to happen in our league with the resources. They're always going to have more of the ball, Gordon. But did they batter Hibs? Did Hibs get a penalty that shouldn't have been a penalty? Should the first goal have stood?
I honestly think if you give Andy another 5 minutes, it'll be 1-0 to Rangers in the semis. I thought second half you were expecting Rangers to come out a bit of response. They're 3-1 down. Hibs are quite happy to sit in and hit them in the counter attack. I said at the top of the show, Gordon, I thought the best team won. I thought Hibs deserved it.
Thank you, Andy. I want to squeeze one more in though. Richard is an Aberdeen fan. He is from Aviemore, a lovely part of the world. What about the sending off at the weekend, Richard?
Hi guys. I thought was Bobby Madden should have took a bit more time and a bit more common sense should have been, because Ojo's momentum's taken him over the board, and then he's obviously gone to retrieve the ball. This fan has pushed him. Now, if we're in the street and someone just pushes us for no reason, your natural reaction is to say, what's going on here? So, you know, Bobby Madden, I get the rules of the game. It's obviously just seen that part, him going in the crowd, and I know it's a booking and all the rest of it, but, you know, he needs to ask the linesman just what's going on there, because I think he's just taking a rash decision and sent him off needlessly. And then, again, you can't even complain about it because it's two bookings, and then he misses our next game for that. And I don't think it's really fair. Really,
Roger,
you know?
What do you think of this full thing?
I don't think there are anyone involved in the whole thing who has covered himself in any degree of glory. Bobby Madden, listen, he's not necessarily sticking to the spirit of the law. He's sticking to the letter of the law. Had Funzo Ojo scored the winning goal for Aberdeen and got into Aberdeen fans to celebrate, he would have been booked. So when he steps back, as Stephen Glass said to me after the game, you've played the clip in Super Scoreboard, Gordon, when Funzo Ojo steps back in, back towards a supporter who has just been involved with him, then that is where Bobby Madden and the officials feel he has committed a breach of the laws and takes a second yellow card.
I put it this way on last night's show though, right? There are, every now and then, you get an incident or a decision that if the opposite had happened, if Bobby Madden had not booked Funzo Ojo, I don't think you hear one single complaint. Literally not one. I don't think anyone cares.
But does the referee assess Bobby Madden?
An official as experienced as Bobby Madden, I'm sure could probably take the hit on that and justify it and say, look at what took place before. Surely, if there's no room for that in our game, are we not in a bit of trouble?
Possibly, but if you have a referee and listeners, referees and TV, Madden, there's Dermot Gallagher in the telly, there's Peter Walton in the telly,
this is my point though. Bobby Madden ain't finding himself back in the Ayrshire Juniors next week if he hadn't booked Funzo Ojo. That's just not happening.
No. But I'm quite sure the referees take pride in their performances for, you know, getting properly marked up by referees.
So you think Bobby Madden feels proud of that, having held the reaction?
But I think he feels he's done his job correctly by booking Funzo Ojo, I think is how he'll feel. I don't think he'll take any great pride in, you know, flashing the second yellow card and the red card at Tannadice at the weekend. As I say, there were no winners out of this particular episode.
I suppose that's my point though, Gordon. If you can take pride at not being marked down for it, does that outweigh all the people who think that it was crazy? I don't know. But what do you think?
I'm with you in this one. I understand what Roger's saying about the rules and everything like that. But Bobby Madden's an experienced official. He must see that, Gordon. I thought it was a ridiculous.
By the way, I think something we always overlook. No idea what was said to Bobby Madden, his assistant, his fourth official. No idea what the communication was, and it's always the ref that has to take the sort of flack. So it's worth bearing that in mind.
Get our friend of the show, Charlie Mulgrew, in. He was the first man in the scene leading Funzo Ojo away. That. Charlie would tell us what happened. Yeah. Get him on the phone.
I mean, Gordon,
I thought it was unfair in the lad, I've got to say. He goes in there, he's manhandled, Gordon. Reaction. I just thought common sense sometimes has to come into it. And I thought that wasn't the case there.
What about your team overall at the moment, Richard?
Well, they're not doing too good. You know, they had that good spell when they beat Hibs Then they got the draw at Ibrox. Then they beat Hearts after that. And then after Dave Cormack came on and had his rant in the BBC Sports Sound, I think we need to get him to have another rant, because we've been beat by United 1-0, beaten Motherwell 2-0 before that. And then before that good spell, as I say, we've been beat 2-1 by Dundee, beat 2-1 by Celtic, beat 1-0 by 2-0 by Motherwell, and been beat, put out the cup by Rafe. I just don't think Stephen Glass has got the right balance in that team whatsoever, where we've had a couple of injuries in centre-half and we've ended up playing midfielders and Scott Brown and McGrory, which these boys are far better than midfield.
It's definitely going to be a crucial period coming up, Richard. I didn't realise it was so late, so we'll have to leave it there. But please do get in touch again. It was nice to speak to you. Will you call us back sometime?
Yes.
Good man. Thank you very much. We're almost out of time. Two more on this teaser. Go.
I'm going for left field here. Danny Wilson, Bristol.
Someone's obviously texted him that, because it is Danny Wilson, but it was Barnsley, not Bristol. So there you go.
Is the last one a Scott?
I think so.
Is it George Graham at Millwall?
Oh no, it's not. Sorry, I, no. Maybe this guy's not a Scott. I can't remember exactly.
Has he got?
No, I don't know. I don't think it is.
So no, clearly not George Burley at Ipswich.
No.
Kirby Fleet at Charlton.
No.
Pulis at Stoke.
Nope.
Give us a clue.
John Gorman at Swindon.
I was going to say Glenn Hoddle at Swindon.
Right, we've got to go. We'll be back tomorrow at 6. Callum Gallagher's up next.